bring, and I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America, ordinarily at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, but please do not call unless we ask specifically for calls, because we have with us a very, very special guest. His name is William H. Kennedy. That's like the Kennedys, and he, of course, has been our guest in the past. He wrote a book called Lucifer's Laws. Now, Mr. Kennedy is a conservative Catholic. The book he wrote on Lucifer's Laws was about homosexuality and pedophilia in the Catholic priesthood, which is sort of a controversial subject, but of course it's a very, very real problem. And of course it represents the moral degradation not only within Catholicism, the same forces are at work within the Protestant church, the same forces are at work within the Jewish church. We are under attack today. There is a conspiracy, in my estimation, against God and God's people, and an organized effort to undermine the very fabric of the moral organizations that at one time, of course, were the foundation of society. And with that, we see the progressive degradation and corruption of society. Mr. Kennedy, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me back, Dr. Stan. It's always nice to be on Radio Liberty.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, it's fun having you here. And we're going to be talking, of course, about this new book that you're putting out. And what's the name of it?
My new book is called Satanic Crime, A Threat in the New Millennium. I'm selling it as an e-book for $5 right now at williamhkennedy.com. And as a special, you can also download my first book, Lucifer's Lodge, that you mentioned. Both books, both full-length e-books for $5. And you also get access to a Satanic Crime multimedia webpage I set up, which has documentary films that correspond to the chapters in my book. Now, Satanic Crime, the first chapter of it is called A Brief History of Modern Satanism. And what that chapter would give the readers is a bird's-eye view of the contemporary Satanism movement from Aleister Crowley through Anton LaVey and up to Stanton LaVey and other leaders, Boyd Rice, of the Satanism movement in general. And then the next preceding chapters are case studies of serial killers who are also Satanists.
But, of course, you know, when you talk to people about satanic crimes in America, an awful lot of people sort of roll their eyes as if, well, this couldn't be really true. That sounds like something I saw on television. What sort of a response do you get from people when you tell them about the fact that there really are multiple satanic crimes, in fact, far more satanic crimes in America than are ever reported in the media?
Oh, well, sure, Dr. Stan. The first thing I tell them to do is just to go to their Google on their computer and type in satanic crime, and they will get over 2 million hits, okay, of various satanic crimes that have occurred in various interpretations of satanic crime. So the proof of what I'm saying is just a few mouse clicks away.
All right, fine. And I think that really it is so vitally important that people understand that this is not imaginary. It is real. It is increasing in intensity. There is a satanic movement alive and well in America. It involves key people, not only in the American government, but in the governments of Europe and the royalty of Europe. And until we begin to understand what we're up against, we have no possible way of fighting it. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. Our guest this afternoon is William H. Kennedy. William has been our guest before, talking about his book, Lucifer's Lodge. He's written a book on satanic crimes. And most people in America have very little knowledge or understanding that satanic crimes are a major factor in all crime, And they do not understand the relationship between David Berkowitz, the so-called son of Sam Killer, Charles Manson, Anton LaVey, the Hillside Strangler, and so many other crimes. Most people have heard of the imprisonment of Captain Jeffrey McDonald, a Green Beret surgeon, who has been imprisoned for 25 years. The prosecutor knew he was innocent. He sent him to prison because he was covering up for a satanic ritual crime where Captain McDonald's wife and children were killed, and they knew all about it. But to cover up for the satanic killers, they sent Captain McDonald to prison.
Oh, that's right, Dr. Stan. They even had a signed confession from a Satanist who witnessed the murders.
And, of course, this sort of thing goes on far more frequently than most people would suspect or you're ever going to read about in the media. So, William, why don't you tell our listeners, start out maybe with the story of the son of Sam Killers, the so-called David Berkowitz, and what we know about his crimes and what he has now admitted.
Well, David Berkowitz was the son of Sam Serial Killer, who went on a killing spree in the summer of 1977. This was featured in a film by Spike Lee called Summer of Sam, which is a fairly accurate depiction of some of what went on in the killings. But David Berkowitz was sent to prison for the rest of his life, and in prison he became a born-again Christian. And he has come forward and said that he was not a solitary shooter, that he was part of a satanic cult that was a spin-off or a fractured segment of the Process Church of the Final Judgment. Now, according to Maury Terry, who wrote The Ultimate Evil, those same Processians that Berkowitz was involved with were also involved with NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association. So you see this satanic movement kind of permeating various progressive liberal movements and liberation movements that you saw in the 1970s, many of which on the surface have very good...
Hold that thought right there, William, please.
Sure.
Well, this is Arthur Stan. Our guest is William Kennedy, and he's been telling us about the Son of Sam killer, David Berkowitz, who was associated with a group called the Process Church of the Left of the Final Judgment. Now, when, of course, David first went to prison, he was quite afraid to tell the story. He would not tell it, for he feared for his life. Since he's become a Christian, I think he's become much more courageous and willing to speak out about these the secret organization he was part of. The really big problem was that there were people within the police force who knew that he was not a solitary killer, but there were many people in key positions of authority back, and I think it was New York or New Jersey, somewhere in there, who knew all about this and covered up for this satanic cult. And the same thing holds true as far as the Manson killings. Where do the Manson killings fit in to this whole Process Church of the Final Judgment, which most people have never heard of?
Well, Charles Manson wrote for the Process Church of the Final Judgment, which just very quickly, it was founded in the mid-1960s by Robert Moore de Grimston and his wife Mary Ann, and it focused on satanic worship and cult expansion, and they recruited a lot of very wealthy young people. Mick Jagger and Marianne Faithfull were involved with the Process Church, so they got pretty wealthy people and spread out throughout the United States and Europe. And they recruited people, and how Charles Manson ties in with them is he lived on a few doors down from them when he lived in San Francisco when he first started his family right after he got out of prison during the Summer of Love. And Charles Manson actually wrote an article for the Process magazine, a magazine Processians used to sell on the street. And Charles Manson's theology is almost identical to Process Church theology, wherein they see themselves as personifications of both Jesus and Lucifer simultaneously. This is a thing that Manson and even David Berkowitz, who we mentioned earlier, he has a similar sort of theology that he talks about the same sort of thing, Jesus and Satan being the same thing. That was one thing they talked about in his group. So we're looking at, you know, this Process Church of the Final Judgment, which came out of Scientology, by the way. The de Grimstons were Scientologists originally, and the Scientologies ultimately linked back to Aleister Crowley, strangely enough. L. Ron Hubbard was a disciple of Aleister Crowley. So you see, all these strange links and all these diabolical cults do have some underlying themes.
And of course, the Scientologists are one of the most powerful and wealthy cults in the country today, and they have some of the most prominent Hollywood stars are Scientologists.
Tom Cruise, John Travolta, Christy Alley, many, yeah.
And of course, this whole story is really so incredible. Now, wasn't Charles Manson a victim of a child molestation when he was at boys' school?
Charles Manson as a boy was sent to Boys Town, which was founded by Father Flanagan. It's run by the Catholic Church. And he was sexually abused there. He didn't stay there very long, but it's after he left there that he became very, very deranged. And here's another odd link. Now, that ties into the whole Franklin cover-up, which happened a few years back. A fellow named Lawrence King, now this isn't the radio announcer, I just want to make that clear, was involved with pedophilia and supplying boys for sex orgies in Washington, D.C. with very wealthy politicians. Now, some of these boys were interviewed, and some of them have described satanic rituals. These are all focused in my book, but Senator DeCamp, who was also at Boys Town once, he's a graduate of Boys Town, he investigated it, and he discovered that there was a satanic pedophile cult at Boys Town feeding children to this bizarre Washington, D.C. sex cult. This is all very, very well documented. Lawrence King got out of prison and now lives in Washington, D.C. again, so I don't know what he's doing these days.
Well, of course, one of the things you bring out in your book is about the Bilderberger Group. We hear occasionally a little bit about Bilderbergers, but it's really the most wealthy men in the world who meet, at least the Europeans and Americans, their counterparts, meet regularly in secret meetings. The most recently one was up in, I believe, in Canada. But,
right.
But anyway, of course, you have some information about somebody and about various court trials in Europe that have been suppressed here.
Now, my book, Satanic Crime, is the first book to expose a link between the Bilderberger Group and the Satanic Pedophile Group. Just in brief, the Bilderberg Group was founded in the 1950s by a European monarch, and what they do is the European nobility and the wealthy American capitalists of the time decided to meet every year. They first met in the Bilderberg Hotel in Holland. That's why they're called the Bilderbergers. But they meet yearly under very, very tight security, and no one knows what goes on within their meetings. And I mean everyone who's anyone has attended, Bill Clinton, Tony Blair, anyone you can imagine. And why the press doesn't like it is no one knows what goes on. Now, my book, Satanic Crime, is the first book to link this group to satanic pedophilia in the person of Marc Dutroux, who is a Belgian pedophile, child pornographer, and sex slave trader. He would kidnap children and keep them in dungeons in these houses that he owned. He owned, I believe, a total of 7 houses. He was allegedly an out-of-work electrician, but he owned 7 houses. And he was selling women to this rich pedophile cult. Now, he was arrested, and during his trial, the judge asked for anybody to come forward who was abused by Marc Dutroux. And 10 women came forward and started to give testimony that many rich European nobles, many of the members of the Bilderberg Group, including King Albert II, the King of Belgium, were involved in various sex rituals in which Marc Dutroux was present. Now, Marc Dutroux himself has admitted that he is a Satanist and a satanic pedophile, and that these ceremonies did go on. Now, this was highly suppressed, and a French journalist named Jean Nicolas actually published these court documents. The judge was removed from the case, and the whole matter was dropped, and then Dutroux was sent to prison. Now, he escaped once. He was, like, virtually allowed to walk out of a prison and get into a car and drive away, but he was caught by a mob. And on another occasion after that, they found a handcuff key in some of his food, in his food pantry in the prison. So someone was actually trying to allow him to escape. And
maybe so they could kill him.
Maybe they could kill him, or maybe he was about to talk, or maybe he was about to give out more names. But now, it's very sad because what happened was King Albert II, the book was published, it's called The Pedophile Dossier, and King Albert insisted that an amendment be put in where he gave a denial statement that he said this was just based on rumor, and he proclaimed his innocence. But they tried to suppress it, but that's as far as they could get. And all Jean-Nicolas said was that he was merely publishing court documents that are public record anyway. But they kind of came at him later. They tried to sue him for he obtained some of the documents, the court documents, through illicit means. He had someone leak them to him, I believe, and he was charged. I don't know what became of the case or if it's still pending.